My mic was muted. What a school by error. Hello, everyone. Welcome to In Between Appointments. I am genuinely in between appointments here at the studio. There's lots of stuff going on around us here in Longridge, in the heart of the Ribble Valley. But welcome to In Between Appointments. I am joined today by Sandy. And Sandy is someone who has been following on LinkedIn for some time. And your name and your content has kept popping up on my stream. And I thought, you know what? What a great interview it will be. To pick your brains on everything that you do, give you a bit of promotion, of course, make sure, you know, everyone knows who you are and what you do, and really just to get your insight into the wedding industry as well. After such a turbulent couple of years, Sandy. So I suppose we're going to start right at the beginning. So welcome, first of all, start right back at the beginning. Where have you come from? How have you got into this industry? You know, just take us right back.
Right, so I've been in the industry now for a scary 20 years, but I started out, well, I did a language degree and I wanted to go back to Germany, which was my first choice, and I couldn't get a job. So I thought, okay, I'll go to London, get 6 months under my belt doing anything, and then try again to go back to Germany. Of course, fell in love, never went back to Germany, but there we are. That's what we do, isn't it? And I ended up, and it wasn't ended up, in the payment systems industry, so Visa and banks and all that kind of thing, for 12 years. And then I have kids. And I didn't want to be, I loved the work, but I travelled all over the world. I didn't want to be on a train commuting into London. I lived in Hertfordshire. And when we were planning the second one, we sort of sat down and thought, what could I do that I could do from home? And I did one of those, I did one of those online questionnaire things. And for the first time in my life, I actually filled it out for me, because normally you fill it out for some kind of manager who's appearing over your shoulder. What does he want me to say? You know? So I did it for me, and it came out as party planning. And I thought, I've got a huge American company. I thought, don't be silly, we have people that do that. We have teams of people that do that. Why would I want to do it? And then I thought about it, and I thought, it's a project. And it's people. Yeah. And, you know, and I thought, yeah, why not? And that's where it started. That's how I got into it. And I started doing, I think I wanted to move away from corporate, having been in it for a while. I've now gone back there. So I very much did private parties and weddings for probably 12 years of the 20. And very much looked, when I got into the wedding industry, having come from a very regulated industry, I looked for something to join or a certificate to take or something, and there wasn't anything. And then I fell upon the UK Alliance of Wedding Planners, which had just been set up, and very long story short, then became one of the owner directors of the UKWP. So we regulated and trained lots and lots of planners and had a code business practice and all that kind of thing that you need in any industry. I stepped down as an owner director in 2018. My father was dying, but my wonderful colleague and friend Bernadette continues it, and it is a fantastic organization. And I was in Hertfordshire for all of that time, and then my husband got a job in Jersey. And I thought, well, I'd actually grown up on the Isle of Wight originally, so I knew I could do islands. And so I closed down in Hertfordshire and opened up again here 6 years ago.
Wonderful. Wonderful. And does that, I mean, of course, you know, Jersey is kind of offshore. Does that, how does that, how do you interact then with your clients then? Because of course you're a distance. Do you travel? I mean, the last 2 years must have been fairly straightforward in terms of Zoom. Everyone's got onto this platform, but how does that work?
Absolutely. So how it what I've tended to find, and I mean, you will have met, I'm sure, lots of different kinds of wedding planners in what you do. And I am very much at the girl with a clipboard and spreadsheet end of the kind of spectrum, as opposed to all the beautiful styling and what have you. Can I do it? Yes. It's not my real forte. I love the logistics, all of that kind of side of things. So what I have found since I've got to Jersey, perhaps inevitably, is that my one-to-one clients tend to be people who don't live here. So right. either they have come here on holiday and fallen in love with it and they want it as a destination wedding. Mm-hmm. Weirdly, I even had, I don't know how much you know the Jersey history, but Jersey is the Channel Islands were the only bit of Great Britain that were actually occupied during the war.
Yes.
So everything here is liberation, everything, even the ale is liberation ale. and we have an extra bank holiday every year, which is Liberation Day.
Wow.
And so it, weirdly, in a way, I had a German couple who had come over and fallen in love with the place, who came back here to get married, just the two of them. The photographer and I were the witnesses. They literally
incredible. Incredible.
So it's either that, or more usually it is either or both of the bride and groom, usually the bride, sometimes both, who grew up here but aren't here right. anymore. They're either in London, I've got people in Singapore, I've got people in Canada. So that kind of really suits me with all the logistics, because we have a lot of fog here, islands do,
yeah.
and flights are a nightmare at the moment anyway, aren't they? But
yes.
but here, you know, even if EasyJet and BA or whoever are flying from the UK, they often circle here and have to go back because there's so much fog they can't land.
Incredible.
So juggling all of that and kind of like, right, I've got, okay, such and such is happening in Singapore, so we can't, on lockdown, as you can imagine, was interesting. Getting people, you know, which countries can we get people from and which countries can't we get people from? So yeah, that tends to be what I have as my one-to-one clients. And then, like so many people, when COVID struck, I wasn't doing any weddings, clearly, for some time. And I launched something that I'd actually wanted to do for a long time. I'm very conscious that in most cases, not all, but in most cases, somebody who hires a wedding planner, certainly for full planning, tends to have a relatively sizable budget. Otherwise, they wouldn't be paying somebody to do it.
Yeah.
But I've, over the years, and I'm sure my colleagues would say the same thing, over the years, I have spoken to so many brides who've said one of two things to me. Either, I actually really want to do it myself, I'm just not sure how, or I'd love to have had a planner, but I can't afford it.
Yeah.
So to kind of speak to that audience, and of course, my target audience is quite small now here. We're not a big place.
No.
I thought I would launch a kind of online course, and I've launched a course and a membership for brides who either want to plan their own wedding or would have liked to plan it but can't afford one. And I absolutely love that. And that was a joy during lockdown because I wasn't doing any actual physical events or weddings, of course. And it's lovely to be able to work with those brides.
And that opens you up to every bride across certainly across the UK and wider.
What it's tended to have done so far is, and I sort of started out thinking, well, actually, it's the UK market and the Jersey market that I know the best, but most of what I teach isn't particularly geography specific. Some of it is, things like the rules around, you know, when you can book your registrar and all that kind of thing, of course, is geography specific, but most of it isn't. So I started out thinking, well, I could potentially talk to anyone whose language is English. But what's tended to happen is that I have, yes, predominantly UK and some Americans.
Brilliant. So sell Jersey to us then. Go on, tell us why people will be watching this going, well, why should I go to Jersey? What is it about it that you obviously now is your home and you love about it?
Well, one of my friends is the CEO of the tourist board here called Visit Jersey, so she'll be very pleased. Amanda, I'm doing a shout out for you. It's beautiful. I mean, as I say, I grew up on the Isle of Wight, so I get islands, and I also know that not everybody could live on an island. It can be quite claustrophobic. It's very peculiar. If you imagine, I mean, think of all the things, whatever you think of any of them that have been going on with your government recently, you can sit and watch the news and think, good grief, what's Boris done today? Or whatever it might be, or whoever it might be. But you're not going to bump into them in Waitrose.
Yeah. Fair.
Or Sainsbury's, or, you know, other supermarkets are available. We do. We bump into the Chief Minister every week. And that's a bit weird.
Yeah, I can imagine.
And they get kind of pulled in every day. You know, it's a little bit like meeting your doctor in the street and saying, oh, could you have a quick look at my arm? You know, you get people literally sort of badgering them in the supermarket saying, well, what are you going to do about the streets? Or what are you going to do about education? So that's a bit strange. But the nice part of that is that it's kind of like a village atmosphere. I mean, there's 103,000 people here, which isn't that much.
No.
I when I was in the UK, I lived in a place called Tring in Hertfordshire, which is very near Hemel Hempstead, which most people will have heard of. And our population here is the same size as Hemel.
Wow.
So when I say government, although we do have a completely separate government, it's the size of Hemel. So it's basically, to you, a local authority. If you
it pretty much is. So take us back a little bit. Two and a bit years ago, we were sat there watching. You'll be watching your government's announcements and Boris's, and 23rd of March, you know, you were in the industry. I suppose take us through what your initial thoughts were, and then how, I know you've diversified the business, and how you've changed, the business has changed, and how you're reflecting on the last 2 years within the industry.
Okay, so we were actually luckier than you were here. Mm-hmm. We only had one lockdown, and it started a week, I think we were the 30th of March, so it started a week after you. And our rules were a little bit, I mean, I can't remember exactly the rules at the different times, but the worst we ever had it was that we were allowed out, so to speak, for 2 hours of exercise per day. And of course, it's actually quite hard not to be by the sea here.
I
don't live on the beach. That would be super expensive here. but I'm 5 minute walk, literally. Yeah. So we had it quite easy in that sense. We also, I say we, wasn't me, but we also sorted testing and tracing really quickly.
Yeah.
And we had a COVID helpline that was, I mean, it was manned 24 hours a day. I had to haul my daughter back. She was in Hanoi. She was supposed to be doing her year out after a degree. And she was going to travel Vietnam and teach. She had to come back here, which she was not happy about. But she ended up on the COVID helpline. And that was great, because I don't think people had that in the UK. To the same degree. And so we were lucky in that sense. And weddings stop completely at any point? Let me think. Yes, they did. They did during lockdown, but then they opened them up quite quickly. We had the micro weddings like you, but we had them sooner. And people were allowed to stand in the garden of the church, for example, if it was a church wedding, and see it on a video. We got very good at live streaming everything. So I think we were luckier. The first wedding that I did, the first sort of proper normal wedding, kind of 120 person wedding I did last year, was a marquee wedding by one of our two castles. Again, I'm going to sell Jersey the bigger of the two castles. And everybody in the church, apart from the vicar and the bride and groom, had to wear a mask.
Yep.
And I had to have authority, literally written authority from the government, that people could dance after the wedding reception, but they could only take their mask off and dance if they were outside.
Wow.
If they went back inside to dance, they had to put their mask back on. Now, just like everything, a couple of drinks inside them, nobody was listening to what I was
saying.
But I was doing that awful kind of, I'm really sorry, I've got to be the boring one and just tell you that these are the rules. And of course, at the same time, as you say, I diversified. So I had my course going on. And I think that was really nice. It was lovely for me, but it was lovely for the brides as well, because they couldn't go out either. They couldn't do anything. I mean, I remember on one occasion saying, oh, it's great that you've actually, you know, that you're actually online with me at 7 o'clock on a Friday night. And one of them said, well, what else can we do? And of course, they were right. We were out by then and you were not. But that was a really nice thing to have. during that period, right, because it was kind of a community that we built up together and kind of like just supported each other. Mm. And sometimes, you know, I'll do a weekly Q&A for my membership. But during that period, quite often it was just like a coffee and a chat. I mean, nobody really, there was nothing to do. Nobody could plan anything.
How are you?
Yeah. And of course, a lot of people had to cancel or postpone multiple times, as you will have been through. And it must have been interesting with dresses because, I mean, I had people here who had bought their wedding dress and then just decided to have a baby instead. And then, of course, the wedding dress didn't fit and all of that kind of thing.
Yeah, you're right. Well, because we still relatively new. We never lived through COVID as a business. But what we are finding is that brides who bought a dress 2.5 years ago, they were ready for their wedding in March and April, and fashion has moved on significantly. Fashion moves on, so now they're going, well, actually, what was fashionable 2 years
Bridgerton's
ago?
Bridgerton's had a lot to do with that, hasn't it?
Well, absolutely right. Yeah. Bridgerton has, and so saying, well, I can't wear what I wanted to wear 2.5 years ago. I've now got to wear what's trendy in 2023 and 2024. Yeah. So what have you learnt then? What have you learnt in the last 2.5 years?
I think what I've learnt is that, well, it's very much what I've learnt is kind of like very much what I teach my brides, sounds like my children. So you get to a certain age and you do think they're all your children. Is that, you know, more importantly than ever, do what you want to do. And I think what I've seen here is, yes, we went down to the micro wedding because we had to, but they've stayed. I don't know about around where you are, but they've really kind of stayed here. And people have thought, do you know what, actually, I could have 30 people that I really want and I can give them really amazing food. You know, more amazing than I could have given 100 people, and I can really, really look after them and you know, buy them little presents and do the whole kind of like welcome to Jersey and you know, these are the things you might want to do, and or maybe make it a kind of a long weekend or a week rather than just the day. But they've definitely stayed. Not all. I've got bigger weddings this year, but I've lots of smaller ones, which is actually really nice.
I would tend to, yeah, you've hit the nail on the head really there. I think that from what I can tell that budgets have increased, but actually the size of the gathering and the party has shrunk, and people are going for more for quality over having 200 guests, actually saying, well, we'll have 100, but we do it real quality. So I suppose that leads us in really, really well to sort of top tips. You'll have hundreds and hundreds of tips, but if you could pick maybe three tips that you think, actually, these are the things that my brides are looking out for now. These are three things that I tell my brides now to be doing when booking. What are them two or three tips that your go-tos?
I think the first one is very much what I just said, do it your way.
Yeah.
Because most, what I find with most brides, and of course we're all different, is that people bend over backwards to try and please everybody. Mm. And we can't, we never can. So, you know, without upsetting people specifically, try and do what the two of you want. And I always like to say to people, if they haven't had children already, because obviously some brides and grooms have, imagine your future daughter and explaining to her when she gets married why you did what you did.
Yeah.
And then they flip it around and go, oh, okay, yeah. Because I, you know, I end up having lots of conversations with brides about, you know, I really would do this, but my mum says I have to do that. And we just kind of, you know, I'm a mum, you know, I just kind of break it down and think she's probably saying that because she loves you, but you need to explain to her not just what you don't want, but why you don't want it.
Yeah, of course.
Which I think brings me to my kind of second point that I always say to people, and this might sound a bit silly, but I say, you know, before you start any planning, really think about what wedding you want. What is that vision that you have? Because, it, you know, if 10 brides are standing in a row with their eyes shut, they're all envisioning something completely different. Yes, I want to marry him or her. Yes, I want it to be an amazing day with the people I love. But beyond that, some will be thinking hay bales and meadows, and some will be thinking seaside, and others will be thinking castles, and others will be thinking, you know, Swish Hotel in London. Some might be thinking very sophisticated evening, do don't want any kids there. Others might be thinking want loads of kids. And do, you know, really think about the vision, because I think that helps you plan. Because if you know that what you want is, I don't know, let's say the kind of the hay bales and the or the barn and the very kind of, you know, maybe a bit of glamping, yeah, very outdoorsy, quite laid back, then when you look at photographers and you look at caterers and you look at florists, you can automatically discount probably half of them. Not because they're bad, just because their particular style is very sophisticated or elegant or not laid back. So actually it makes it easier. In a sense, if you've got that real vision, and I always say, you know, if you're getting stuck, go back to that vision and think about what it is. And that also helps when you are talking to, you know, the big sister who got married last year, who's desperately trying to help, but actually you're not the same personality as her, or the friend, or whoever it might be, mum, dad, who's trying to cajole you into inviting 15 people that you really don't want, or that don't fit with your vibe at all. You know, take them through that vision and that why you want what you want. And if they love you, which 99% of the time, of course they do, they'll get it.
Brilliant.
And that's two, and I was supposed to do three, wasn't I?
Well, you can do as many as you want, Candy. Listen, we've got all day.
What would be my third?
I think
my third would be, and again, I think through my lessons, but my third would be, you know, you coin these phrases, don't you? But one of mine is very definitely wedding planning is not a solo sport. Right. Yes, it's stressful. Of course it's stressful, because in most cases you've never done it before.
Mm-hmm.
And you've got lots of people telling you how to do it and you're not sure who to listen to. So I'm a big believer, you know, think about, I would say up to five people, including yourselves, who could be your kind of core wedding team. And I don't mean suppliers like ourselves. I mean friends and family. And I also say to my couples, you know, think about it before you say yes to everybody who offers, because we all have, I can think of some of my own, we all have friends who we love and adore, but you just know they're not going to step up to the plate and do what you've asked them to do by the time you've... For all sorts... They might have just had a baby. There might be all sorts of reasons. Of course, you want them there. You might want them to be a bridesmaid. But actually, you know they're not going to be great at going through terms and conditions for you, for example. Yeah. So I say, you know, have a wedding team. It's far more fun. And you know, if you are a really, you know, quite a laid back, maybe a crafty person, and you're good at all that sort of thing, find someone, you know, maybe you've got a lawyer in the family, maybe you've got someone who's just really good at the detail, who can go through all of those terms and conditions, which, you know, bore you witless if that's not your thing. But, you know, you need those different skill sets and types of people in your team, and then it's much more fun.
Love that. What does the last couple of questions? What does the looking forward now? What does the future hold then for the wedding industry? We've seen a mass explosion of bookings of people wanting to get married because everything's been lifted, and it's been lifted for a few months now. And you know, I'm speaking to venues and they're already having bookings for 2025. What does the future look like for the wedding industry? And also, are the trends in where people are wanting to get married, type of wedding? You're talking about people maybe doing it with less people. Are there other trends that you're seeing coming through? And what's that going to look like in the next couple of years?
In terms of where I hope the wedding industry goes, and of course it did momentarily, is that I hope very much that, you know, and I'm not a big one for let's all follow America, but that I hope it becomes about the celebrant and not about the place.
Okay.
In terms of the ceremony, you know, why should I not be able to get married on the beach as long as I have an appropriate celebrant there marrying me?
Brilliant.
You know, Scotland have been there for ages.
Yeah.
So, and actually, weirdly, we are here now, behind on so many things, but not on that. In terms of trends, I mean, I think I think now people are traveling again, we will see more and more destination weddings once the airlines get themselves back together.
Of course.
I mean, it was about, I think it was at about 20% of UK couples going elsewhere to get married before lockdown happened. I'm not sure where it is now, but I would say it's probably increasing. Certainly it is here, but I'm not as sure with the UK, but it's probably similar. And what am I seeing? Well, certainly here I'm seeing more of the sort of laid back style of wedding and less of the sophisticated kind of style. Generally, I would say people wanting to have like glamping options and eke it out over a few days, but make it very laid back. I mean, certainly here we tend to get people who will come and they'll have a 2 or 3 days of, you know, they might go surfing, they might go coast steering, they might go, you know, do all the water stuff. Mm. Skydiving in one case, which I thought was a bit of a mad idea just the day before. And then they'll, you know, maybe do a barbecue on the beach or something the day after, but all quite laid back, including the wedding day. It's certainly what I'm seeing here anyway.
Love that. Love that. Right. So we all know how good you are at what you do. What the last sort of genuinely last two bits now, and we'll keep it brief because I know you've got to go. But sort of what does an ideal bride look like to you, as in who are you looking to help? I'm sure you can help anybody, but if we can be specific, who are you looking to help? And an additional question, final question, where can people go to find out more about you and start engaging with what you're doing?
Okay, so in terms of my ideal, do I have an ideal bride? I suppose what I tend to attract is, I tend to attract two types of bride, and they're quite opposite, oddly. Okay. I either attract people who, if I say don't have a clue, I don't mean that rudely, but they really have no idea. They tend to be quite young. They don't know where to start. They maybe haven't got a mum who is particularly engaged in getting involved because she's still working, you know, and in a career and, you know, hasn't got the time, maybe. The other end of the spectrum, my brides tend to be super organised, but so organised that they know that they can't be that girl with a diamond encrusted white clipboard on the day, or iPad or whatever on the day. So, and they're quite diametrically opposed in a way. But those are the kinds of people that I tend to work with one to one, and I love both.
Yeah, of course.
I would say in terms of where to find me, I am turnevents.com or I am theemboldenedbride.com, depending what people want. I mean, you know where I am on LinkedIn and Facebook.
We'll get you tagged in everything and get you tagged in Facebook as well. Are you have a Facebook presence on
yes, I am. There's a Turn Events page and there's a the Emboldened Bride page. Yes.
Brilliant.
Yes, so I think you when you see me stream on LinkedIn, I'm also on Facebook.
Because you stream quite regularly, don't you, on LinkedIn?
I normally stream very regularly, except for the last 2 weeks when I've just been chaotically busy. because events have opened up, not just weddings, it's gone mad. It's gone absolutely mad here. I don't know. It's probably the same.
Yeah, it is.
The difference here is that we are quite limited in our suppliers.
Yes.
So we have, I mean, you know, that was hard when I came here from the southeast to here, where you have so many accessory companies and furniture companies and marquee companies and what have you. We have two marquee companies here, literally. and when we're out of tents, we're out of tents.
Yeah. You're not bringing any more over.
So no one can get married this weekend because we've got the boat show. And all the marquees are there. But it literally, and we have what we basically have one, arguably two, toilet companies. I mean, it's all the exciting stuff, isn't it?
Yeah.
So the minute anybody rings me up at the moment for any event, I'm going, do you need loos? Because we're running out.
The logistics are fantastic. Absolutely brilliant. Brilliant. Well, Sandy, thank you so much. I know you're busy. You've been on a big conference as well, so you're very, very tired. But thank you for spending half an hour with us. We will be putting clips about this interview out all week next week. So if you've missed this interview, I'm sure you can play it back. I'm not really sure. But we'll put clips out through the week so you can get the best bits as well. Sandy, thank you so much for spending some time with us. Have a wonderful, wonderful weekend. I hope you keep very, very busy. And yeah, thank you to everyone for watching. We're going to play a very short video just to play you out, and we'll see you all same time next week, 2 o'clock, on these channels that you're seeing this on now. So thank you very much. Have a wonderful day, Sandy. Bye bye.
Bye bye. Today, you are holding the hands of your best friend, young and strong and full of love for you, as you promise to love each other forever. These are the hands that will love you. These are the hands that will hold you and comfort you through the years. These are the hands that will give you encouragement and support. These are the hands that you will each work with, create with, and use to build your life together. Congratulations, you're now married. You may kiss.